Hello, and welcome to Living with Dying, the podcast where we try to break the taboos around death and dying and learn to talk about it. Thank you if you've been listening since the beginning, and if you have, you'll know we've covered so many aspects of death and dying, from what it's actually like to die, to how it feels to lose your nearest and dearest, the different ways grief can strike, the different ways we cope or don't with loss, how counselling can help, what part faith can play, how to help others going through grief, and how to pick up the pieces and rebuild a life after a big loss. Well, I'm very pleased to welcome today Sid Cole to my podcast. I first came across Sid's name when I took my first holiday after my husband died, and I'd like to talk about that in a bit more detail later on as we continue chatting, because that was a big deal for me, and I'm sure it is for most people who first go on holiday after the loss of a loved one, particularly if they've travelled a lot with their partner. But anyway, your name came up, Sid, because while I was on holiday, I got talking to the tour managers because I realised that everybody on the same holiday was probably in a very similar situation to me. We'd all lost somebody, and that was why we were all travelling on our own. So can you start by taking me back to when your wife died, Sid, and what that was like for you?
Yeah, it's, I lost my wife 10 years ago now. She had leukemia, and everything was nice and fine. And then all of a sudden, she got this very aggressive leukemia, and no time she was gone. That left me in a bad place. We'd been together since she was 15 and I was 16. We married when she was 17 and I was 18 because I was called up to National Service. And that was the only way she could come with me. And we were married for 55 years when I lost her. And we were never had any children. So I suddenly found myself on my own, no children. And I really didn't know what I was going to do. I was, you know, it hit me that hard. I had no real hobbies or anything like that. So I just done a lot of sitting around, which is unusual for me because I've always a very active person. And for about coming up to 2 years, I didn't do anything at all. And I was getting more and more depressed. And then one morning I saw an advert for a photography course at the local college. And at 77 years of age, I decided to go back to college. And I thought it was done in three modules, three eight-week modules. So I thought I'll give the first one a try. And I was hooked, and I completed them all. I started getting out and about most days, out walking, taking photographs of wildlife, sunrises, etc. But then I hadn't had a holiday since I'd lost my wife. Really, I couldn't see how to start going on a holiday without her. And then I saw an advert for Locks and Glens holiday, and I thought, well, I'll give that a try. And it didn't work out at all well, because I ended up in Scotland in a tiny little single room in a hotel. And literally everybody else on the trip were all couples. So I was way, way out. So I got back and I thought, well, that's the end of holidays. And then a friend said, why don't you look for solo holidays? They said that you can see them on the, if you Google. So I did that and it came up with a number, but one that caught my eye, because I knew the area where they were located, was One Traveller. So I took the plunge and booked the holiday, and it was to Austrian lakes and mountains, and it was a fabulous holiday. I suddenly realised I was with people a lot a lot of, I mean, some were, say, divorced or been separated, but there were quite a few, like myself, who had lost their partners. And we had that sort of in common. Everyone was so friendly. The tour manager was absolutely brilliant. And I got back, and that was it. I was hooked. And now, in the past 7 years, I've done 19 holidays with one traveller. I know a lot of the tour managers now. I meet a lot of different people. And I've got three more booked for this year. It was, you know, a real lifesaver. I realised, I mean, it's still very difficult. It's, people say time heals, but I mean, 10 years on, it doesn't heal. It perhaps teaches you how to cope with things. And I'm in a situation now where I'm comfortable with my life. I still miss my wife, but I've made friends. I've got a good hobby. And it made all the difference, because I think had I not taken up a hobby, had I not took the plunge to go on a solo holiday with people of, roughly my age group, a lot of them were younger. Because, yeah, I don't think I'd been here now if it wasn't for it, you know. And it made one massive difference.
So can you take me back to that first trip you took? For me, it took about 18 months before I was even ready to book anywhere. And then I can remember having to gear myself up to get to the airport. It was really tough. And being the one who actually started speaking to people, because that's what I did. I suppose it's what I do. But that took an awful lot of guts and courage. What was it like for you?
Yeah, well, it was so well organised to start with. As soon as I got onto One Traveller, and then they started organising everything, and everything was so simple. I signed up for the pre-holiday get-together. You can book, because a lot of our flights are early, we can book for a get-together at the Radisson Blu Hotel near Heathrow. And the majority of us tend to go for that. And we meet up and we have a meal and a drink and a get together. So it sort of, that breaks the ice. I got there a little bit earlier than the normal meetup time of 3 o'clock. But there were already one or two people down there. So we got talking. And then we headed off to Austria. And one of the reasons I tend to like, I'm not a person to go for sun, sea and sangria. I much prefer, mountains, lakes, forests, that sort of thing. So I booked for Austria. And again, that was a little bit of a double-edged sword, because in the early 60s, I was stationed in Germany. And my wife and I, we used to get duty-free petrol, and we had a car, we had no tires, so every time I was off, we'd be shooting away. And one of our favourite places to go to was Austria. And I started to come across, on the trips out, one or two places where I had been with my wife. So it was a bit strange, but then in some ways, that sort of killed off a few ghosts. And I started we found everyone who was on the holiday was brilliant. We had a lot of laughs. And then I got back to the UK. And the first thing I did when I got home was got their brochure out and start looking for my next holiday.
You made a good point earlier on when you said everybody's in the same boat. Well, you didn't quite use that phrase, but I'm using it. That is the thing about a solo holiday, isn't it? It doesn't need to be as frightening as you think, because everybody is going to be probably in a position like you.
I've done 19 holidays now. And I mean, after my first one, I would start coming across people. And I suddenly realised when I get to the hotel for the get-together, and then there were we had very few men in the early days. On my Austria tour, out of 30, there was only myself and two other men. I have been on one where I was the only man. It's improving now on more recent holidays. It seems more men are now starting to take the holiday. But I think it was hard for the lady. I mean, I, as a man, haven't been 12 years in the RAF. I followed that up with 30 years in the prison service. I was used to getting out and about, moving around on my own at times. So it wasn't too difficult once I'd taken the plunge. But I started to see, you know, some very nervous ladies at the hotel. And I made a point of starting to go and sitting down and chatting with them. And, you know, the most common thing was, well, it's the first holiday I've done without my husband. I don't know anybody. And as I pointed out, as you know, the one traveler system, where you have a number. When you come down for your evening meals, there's your number will be at the table, and you go and sit where your number is, and then the tour manager moves them around, and so you don't get any sort of cliques form. You get to know different people literally every night, and it sort of breaks the ice and makes things easy. And I do know quite a few of them have said at the end of the holiday they didn't really know what they had been nervous about. But it's easy to say, you know, with hindsight, but when they get down there for the first time, I think it's very difficult.
I think it is. I think the first time, like I've said before, it feels like a challenge, but I now feel, having done it once, I'd be emboldened to do it again, because people are generally speaking friendly and nice, aren't they?
Oh, yes.
What we are really afraid of, whether it's the we think we're going to have to tell our story, maybe we're going to have to talk about how our partners died and that kind of thing, and we may not want to do that. But I found everybody actually quite discreet. People weren't really nosy.
No, that's it. I mean, and some people are sort of don't really want to say anything, and others I found they want to talk about it. They feel that. They feel they've got a need to explain what happened, why they are where they are. But no one pushes anyone. The tour managers sort of guide you through everything. I've made friends from the various holidays all around the country. I went on one where my very second holiday, which was to Lake Garda, another place where I've been with my wife. There were two retired school teachers from a little village 28 miles from where I live, and we got on very well, and we meet up every so often in Norwich to have a lunch. And they were on my second holiday with me. We took a couple of holidays in UK off our own back, just booking, you know, hotels or a farmhouse, etc. But on my next holiday, my second holiday this year, which is to Greece, they've actually, they're on that holiday. So we've sort of linked up again. But I think the more holidays you do, you keep getting familiar faces crop up. When you get the list just before, you know, a couple of weeks before you go, and you look on it and you see the names and you think, well, I know that name and I know that name. Because one thing about them is there are so many of us return time and time again. And in fact, one lady who's now a Facebook friend, she was on holiday number 35.
Good heavens. I must say, you're like a one-man walking advertisement for One Traveller, aren't you? And we should point out there are other companies available. And solo holidays, but you've obviously enjoyed your holidays so much you wanted to be loyal and keep going back.
I'm a great believer in the saying, if it's not broke, don't fix it. We have our own Facebook site, and you can only get onto it if you've got a reference from a one travel holiday you've done. So we've now there's about 1700 members on it, and it's very handy, because if someone is going on a particular holiday, you get things like, what sort of clothing do I need on that holiday for this time of year? And people who have done it will come up with their idea. And someone will say, well, I'm going to such and such a place. Anybody been there? what's it like, and people who have done that holiday will get back to them and say. People ask, what sort of injections do I need? And people who have been on that holiday before can tell them. So it is like a big family group.
Big community, isn't it? So tell me about some of your highlights, some of the 19 holidays that stand out for you most of all.
I think the best one I did the first one is very memorable because, it was my first proper holiday solo. That stands out. But I suppose it's hard. It's a close run thing with a lot of them. But I think my favourite one was about 5 years ago. I did, they did a Christmas, New Year river cruise on the Rhine and the Moselle. And it was a 12-day one. And the boat had took 60 passengers. We had two tour managers for that. And then again, that was another sort of trip down memory lane. Because one of my wife's favourite places every spring was we would get in the car and we'd go and we'd travel down the Rhine, through the Rhine Gorge, various places. And it was, even though, I was about 63 when I left Germany, but there were so many of the places that we visit, brought back vivid memories. One or two places I thought, when you first got there, well, they seemed so different. And then, like a lot of places in Germany, you went into the old town and you start to get in there and there was all sorts of things that were brought back memories. And it was nice. So other ones, I've done the Swiss mountains, which is good. Lake Garda, I've done a couple of trips. I've been to with twice to Lake Garda with them. Lake Bled was another lovely holiday. There's just so many of them. I've done two in the UK with them. I did Durham, and I also did Torquay, and that was an interesting one because I was scheduled to go to, I was going to Austria again, and we were due to land in Munich and cross the border by coach. I had my case all packed in the hall, doing a last check round the house before leaving, and got a phone call. Germany had shut their border, so we couldn't get to Austria, so that was cancelled. And so I said to them, have you got any UK holidays available at the moment? And they said, yes, we've just had a cancellation on Torquay, if you're interested in it. Well, Torquay, Devon was one of the places that my wife loved to visit. So I said, I'll take it. And then I got the details through, and that was a bit of a shock because I looked at the accommodation. It was the Grand Hotel in Torquay, and that was where my wife and I spent our silver wedding anniversary. So again, it was sort of a two-edged sword. It was lovely to see it again, but it also brought back memories, which can be quite emotional. But again, it's all things like that help you come to terms with what you've lost. And I think, as I say, because we had been together since she was 15, I was 16, and literally all our married life, all the years, and it was very difficult for me to start meeting other people as such, but I've made a lot of good friends on it, and I will just keep going. Still have bad days, like yesterday I got out and about with my camera because I didn't want to be sitting home on Valentine's Day, because my wife and I had always celebrate Valentine's. We always went out for meals, and so you get a day like that and you get the anniversaries, the birthdays, Christmas, then even after 10 years, it still brings sadness. But I'm at peace with the world now. I'm settled in my life. And I will continue in this vein now until the good Lord decides to take me to join my wife.
Sid, you're a wonderful example of somebody who has rebuilt a life after the loss of a very, very long relationship. I give all credit to you and thank you for telling us the stories of your travels. It's been inspiring.
Death is never easy, but there are ways we can help each other through it. And if you've found any of these episodes helpful, please think about liking and sharing. And if you can help spread the word by telling just one other person, thank you. And a huge thanks to Joe Barrett, without whom these podcasts would simply not be possible. You can contact us on hello@livingwithdying.co.uk.